Today's shiur will begin with a story. Hold on 1 second. I see these guys are waiting for my second shiur too. In Bava Basra. But first we're going to begin halacha shiur here this morning. I'd like to thank everybody for coming, especially in the torrential rain we have over here in Florida. You know, we could always say at least it's not snow. At least it's 70 degrees. Yeah. I saw last week there was a little, New York hasn't gotten it so bad, but there was a dusting of snow in New York and Lakewood. So there was a car that was covered and they wrote on it, Blizzard 2023. There wasn't much snow, but it was enough to cover the cars, cover a little bit of the street. So someone posted that picture must have been from Miami person visiting New York. They would call that a blizzard. So yeah, okay, we have rain, but we'd like to thank everybody for coming. Speaking about Miami people on vacation, I went north, but I didn't make it as north as New York, Lakewood. I made it as north as much as Orlando. And many people come back from vacation with a suntan, with, you know, lots of fun. I also come back with lots of fun, maybe a little bit of a suntan. But more importantly, I came back from Orlando with a halacha shiur. Last Sunday morning, I wasn't giving halacha shiur, but someone approached me after davening. I had to take responsibility. I was the Mara da Asra of one corner of Orlando last Shabbos. So someone came up to me with a halachic shayla about tzitzis. I thought it was a very interesting question. So much so it piqued my interest. I decided to spend some time on it this week. And that's really what we have to share here today. But the story doesn't end there. Last night I was by the local Avos Sabanim, and okay, when it's time for the raffles, I pull out my Mishnah Berurah, and I'm chazering Hilchos Tzitzis for today's share. So a friend of mine, Chashuv Talmid Chacham, turns to me. He's like, what are you learning? So I said, Hilchos Tzitzis, I'm giving a share in it tomorrow. So this person's like, you know, I recently had a big kasha in Hilchos Tzitzis. And he starts telling me this is kasha. And I literally finished his sentence. The same kasha that the person asked me in Orlando somehow filtered into the world. It was brought down. The guy was asking me here in North Miami Beach the same question. All I had to say was Hilchos Tzitzis. And the guy asked me the same kasha that I heard a Sunday ago. So from 1 week, as our Shapiro would say, the two bookends. Someone asked me Akasha in Orlando, someone asked me Akasha in North Miami Beach. In between, and a little bit after too, I think I have a better idea than I did beforehand. Still not so simple, but we'll talk about it. Today's topic, if I could talk over the skylight, today's topic is entitled Talis Katan, Big Issues. Play on the words katan and big. But also with that, we hope to have tzitzis tidbits. Multiple little halachas along the way about talis katan, about what we commonly refer to as tzitzis. Now, let's begin with a simple idea. I happen to think that the halachas of tzitzis fall prey into a category of Torah learning where we take it for granted. You know, just like many ways Chumash that we learn when we're young, you know, little kids, Baruch Hashem, is sent to a Yiddish, a Jewish preschool. They already know about, you know, so much of the story of Chumash, the Parshios, just by going to preschool. And you learn these things when you're younger. You don't necessarily, unless you spend time reanalyzing it as you're older, you don't necessarily have a different perspective today than you might have had back in grade school. And this idea really dates back, in Slabaka they talked about it, it's really Chovos Levavos, that a person constantly needs to refresh himself and to relearn topics that he learned at an earlier age, right? You're in Cheskas Abatim as a young schnook, Bezat Hashem, you're a Kola guy, you learn it years later, it's a different perspective, right, Hanan? It'll be a different perspective. So, so too with certain areas of halacha. Tzitzis is probably one of the first mitzvahs that a child does. And you focus on, you understand it to some degree, but it's definitely kedai, definitely worthwhile to reanalyze, go over those halachas as one gets older. And you know, it's maybe not as simple as the little pair of tzitzis you put on your kid as he shaved off his hair. So the simple idea we know, let's start as a bacher, and then we'll go to married people, right? You're a bacher, every morning you put on your tzitzis, you make a bracha, al mitzvah tzitzis, easy. Then you get married, right? Chanan, Baz Hashem. Then you get married, welcome to the chasen. Then you get married, and you not only put on a talis katan, now you also put on a talis gadol, right? Really, if I'm giving the share to a Sephardic audience or a Yekesha audience, this issue will apply before you're a chassid. But those who put on the talis gadol, even before they get married, would have the same issue. Now you put on the talis gadol. Okay. What bracha do you make on the talis gadol? Lizati b'tzitzis. It's a different bracha. On the talis katan, the bracha that we normally make is al mitzvah tzitzis, al talis gadol, the bracha is lizati b'tzitzis. Halakhically speaking, if you made one, would count for the other. You could interchange potentially the language. Kidiyeva, that could also work. Okay. But here's the question. I'll feher the chasim. When you put on Bez Hashem, your talis gadol, so how many brachas on tzitzis will you make that morning?
First time?
Yeah, I'm not trying to dig you into Shachianos. We don't do that. But yeah, how many brachas do you think you're going to make on tzitzis that morning? You peaked. So, the very interesting halacha is as soon as you put on a talis gadol, your life changes. Not just because now you have the responsibility of being married, but when you put on a talis gadol, your life changes because the bracha that one makes on a talis gadol, practically speaking, we say, also patters you, it excludes you from making a bracha on your talis katan. So even though your whole life you were putting on a talis katan and making a bracha on it, once you get married, you do not make a bracha on your, what you call talis katan, your tzitzis. Rather, you just make a bracha on your talis. That is the halacha brought down in the Mishnah Berurah, which we'll see in a moment. Okay? So far, so good? Yeah, so these halachas really would apply, as mentioned, would apply to anyone who puts on a talis gadol and a talis katan, even if they're not yet married. You only, Mishnah Berurah, we'll see in a moment, only says you make one bracha. Huh? Excellent point. We're going to get to that. All right, is there a time requirement between the two brachos? Yes.
You know you're going to be davening for the amud, but you're not married yet, and you're not wearing the talis yet, but you're going to have to put it on for that.
Okay.
What do you do?
So the gabbai always knows which shul questions to ask. I'll put that in the tidbits. Remind me. The brachos and what to do when putting on a talis for the tzibur, for davening for the amud. Okay, that's its own section. So all times. So let's first check out the Shulchan Aruch. This is Simen Ches, Halachas of Tzitzis. So really one cannot make a bracha on tzitzis until one, on talis katan, be exact here, until one washes his hands and makes it in Tilas Yadayim. But ukshin yadov, so let's say a scenario, which definitely you could have, where a person will put on this talis, katan, before he washes netilas yadayim. So we say over there, ikshayito yadav, once you washed your hands, you mashmeik spitzitzes vivarichalov. You're able to just, we would say, you don't have to take off your tzitzis and put them back on. Rather, okay, you're wearing your tzitzis already, so you touch your tzitzis, your mashmish, just literally means you touch it, and now you can make another bracha, now you can make your bracha of al mitzvah tzitzis. Okay, that's what a bacher gets dressed, puts on his tzitzis, then he goes and washes an algal vaser. So after you wash until you die, at that point, you touch your tzitzis and you make a bracha on it. Or he gives a scenario, Ol Kashiyabos Taral Acher, Yivarech Alav, V'chavin Lifter Gamezeh. You would make a bracha on your talis. Here the Mechaber is already hitting on this idea. You can make a bracha on your talis gadol. Okay, maybe for simplicity's sake, I'll refer to the words as talis means talis gadol, tzitzis means talis katan. Okay, just for simplicity's sake. Our talis and our tzitzis. So when you put on a talis, you can be mechavin to pater your tzitzis. Then you don't have to even touch the first tzitzis. One would work for the other. Now the Chafetz Chaim in the Mishnah Brura in Sifkat and Chavdal, which is on the top of your page. He writes like this. Bichav and lifter, v'hachi noig bizmanenu. And this is the minhag in our times. Levarich al talas gadol, just to make the bracha on your talas gadol. Lachav and lifter is a talas gadol, and to have in mind to exempt your tzitzis. That is the minhag. So practically speaking, everyone in this room, even though we want to get 100 brachas each day, you only get one bracha, simply, for talas, and that will exempt us from making a bracha on our tzitzis. That's what the Chafetz Chaim writes one should do. He's about to talk about that. Excellent. Yes.
So if you know you're walking to shul and it's definitely more than Dalet Amos outside, so you're still not making the bracha.
So excellent questions. Excellent questions. We're about to talk about this. Excellent. So let me read further in the Mishnah Berurah. I'll get to the end of it, and then we will discuss. V'hachi adif tfei. This is the best way to go about things, the Chafetz Chaim writes. Ma'ashenogam ezel nashim. The idea that many people do, shemavarichim al talis katan. They make a bracha on their tzitzis, on the talis katan. B'teke mavarichim al talis katan. And then right after that, they're making a bracha on the talis katan. Shegarmin bracha she'eino tzricha. That they're causing a bracha that's not needed. Right? Similarly, we know in Hilchas Brachos, right? You make a bracha on sugar. I don't know why you want to eat sugar. It's the first thing that comes to my mind. But you make a shahako.
Because it's delicious.
Okay. Right? I actually used to have a Rebbe in first grade. You know, his name was a big tzaddik. It was Rebbe Sugar. He gave out little colored sugar. You had your finger in the place and it put like a little scoop of sugar like on your desk. Yeah, but it was. I was very good in first grade to keep my finger in the place. But, so let's say you make a bracha on sugar, and then you have a cup of orange juice. So we would say to make a second bracha on the orange juice would not be appropriate. It would be bracha shein tricha. Your first bracha on the sugar, the shahakal on the sugar, should exempt, you should have in mind, I'm going to have a drink afterwards, And then, you know, my mouth is so sweet, I need something else. Maybe we should be, you know, have coffee. But okay. So that's a bracha shein tzricha. So too, if you would make a bracha on your tzitzis, and then right after that you're going to pull in your talis, we say the bracha shein tzricha, the better thing to do would just make a bracha on your talis and exempt your tzitzis. Now the Chafetz Chaim writes further, va'od, afilum yafsik zman meruba bein talis gadol. Let's say there's a big gap between the time you put on your tzitzis in the morning till you put in your talis in shul. Let's say there's a big gap, as was mentioned. So still the Chafetz Chaim stands by his psak. Kama poim ein roi levarich alav. De ein pesuach rubo. Could be your talus, your tzitzis, your talus katan, is not made properly. You don't have a big enough shear. Odu katami shear mavur, or either, right, it's not made properly, it's not pesuach rubo, or it's not a big enough shear. Or another scenario, odu yashin boba lila, or you slept wearing your tzitzis at night, where you wouldn't be making another bracha. So the Chafetz Chaim is advocating, don't make a bracha on your talus katan, even if there's a big gap, there's a big hefsek, maybe even a big shinei makom, from where you put on your tzitzis to where you put on your talus. Chafetz Chaim says, no, because many times it's not so posh you should be making a bracha on your tzitzis. It's not the right shear, like this, maybe you slept with it. And therefore, the Chafetz Chaim is concluding one does not make a bracha once you're married, once you're wearing a talis, one should not make a bracha on their tzitzis. So this is where, once we have this down, this is where multiple people have asked me this question, that this doesn't seem to make sense. Nowadays, we have manufactured tzitzis that are made very well. Now, assuming you have the right size, you know, something the kosher shear, right? You're not still wearing an old pair from, you know, who knows, when you're a little kid, right? So, Bosh Bashad, people today, you buy a nice kosher pair of tzitzis, you don't have to worry about what the Chafetz Chaim was worried about in Europe, that things aren't made well. Plus, most people don't sleep at their tzitzis, and you're not having the same situation. So, let me first ask the question, I'll get to you. So, L'chor, the question is, I don't understand how the Chafetz Chaim's justification applies to that. You're telling me, why don't I make a bracha on my tzitzis in the morning? Because I'm going to put a talis on later. Okay. But I may not put my talis on right away. Think of what goes on in many places. You get dressed in the morning, you go to shul. What do many people do before davening? A daf yomi shir, a different shir. There are things going on before davening, right? And then you're davening, and then you're putting on your talis. There's a decent gap. So the Chafetz Chaim, it'll be a bracha shena tricha, right? The same way I have sugar over here, I have a cup of drink over there. Everyone understands those are two separate brachas, of course. Why not? So to here, why aren't we making a bracha on tzitzis? If there's a decent gap in time between wearing my tzitzis and later putting on my talis. This happens to many, many people. Not only that, there's innately built in, there's a shinei makom. You'll put your tzitzis on, your tzitzis on in your house. Your talis you're putting on after you travel and get to shul. So that's a big question. How do we understand this whole idea of not making a bracha today on one's tzitzis? Hard to understand. Yes?
Is there something else that's confusing me about what Mr. Brewer is saying? He's saying that there are so many sphincos about the tallest cotton altogether. Maybe it's too small, maybe it's not the right fabric, maybe it's puzzle. And I mean, look at you, you've got boys, look at any little boys' tzitzis, and they look like they've been run over a tractor. You know, and that carries well into high school. So maybe unless wearing a tzitzis is a doraisa, if the whole thing is a drabonon, I raise that question: is it a drabonon to begin with? Sfeik bracha, sfeik bracha is cool.
Okay, so what bringing up, maybe I'll put this in my tidbits later, is in general these issues the Chafetz Chaim is bringing up are reasons not to make a bracha on talis katan. And they might be applicable, you know, in general, right? So why does anyone ever make a bracha on talis katan based on this? So you're right, it's not so simple. You know, you do have to make sure that people wear the proper tzitzis, and the proper chinuch is to wear kosher tzitzis.
It's also seemingly highly problematic to be wearing those tzitzis at all if there's such a concern.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about that. We'll get to katanim and tzitzis. I put that in tidbits. So the basic question that a couple people asked me, and I see here too, we're bothered by, is, okay, why today are we not making a bracha on our tzitzis before, even if we're going to put on talis later, it's much later. There's a decent gap between the two. There's definitely a change of spots between the two. So, and the reasons, the justifications why the Chafetz Chaim said we don't do it, seemingly don't apply. Now I'm raising this as an issue. I have to put out there, you know, most poskim still say we keep exactly what the Chafetz Chaim says. All your svaras, all these kashas, these guys are not the first people to ask these questions. People have asked these before, and the psak has been just not to make a bracha. But we'll get to that. Yes.
If one takes a nap during the day and takes their tzitzit.
Tidbits. We'll get there. Yes. I have multiple tidbits we'll get to at the end, but I want to first deal with this question. I want to add, once asking questions, I want to add twofold to the question. No, hold on. We're not touching on Tcheles. Rav Sharf indeed. Many shirim on Tcheles. I'm not going there. That's not the topic of today's share. Right? Yes. Gosh. Tcheles people. Right? Now, two points I would add. This whole idea that when I make a bracha on my talis gadol, I'm going to exempt my talis katan, does that just work? Is that magic? If you look at the Lashon of the Chafetz Chaim, he writes, "Hachinad bizmanei levarcha talas katan ulechavein, and to have kavana lift or possess a talas katan." That means you have to have it in mind to do it. When I put on my talas gadol, I have in mind to exempt my tzitzis. What happens if you don't have in mind? Then the bracha seemingly doesn't work to exempt your tzitzis. So this is a very important halacha that people may not know. If we're not making a bracha on our tzitzis in the morning, because we're going to potter it later. But pottering later, pashup shot, only works if you have in mind. Many people don't have it in mind. So that itself should add to the issue, wouldn't it just be simpler to make the bracha on the tzitzis in the morning and then later? Just seemingly adds to the question. If you have this in mind, maybe people don't have it in mind.
No, you're still doing the mitzvah, just like people who don't
true.
Make the bracha on their tzitzis
true.
When that
true.
They're wearing during
true.
The and
right. We hold brachas anama akev for the mitzvah itself. If you do the mitzvah of tzitzis, you do the mitzvah of tefillin and other mitzvahs, even with forgetting to do the bracha, you're okay. You get rewarded. But obviously, we want to do things in the best possible way. Chazal misakin brachos for mitzvahs, we want to do them. So ideally, Chafetz Chaim seems to write, the best thing to do is to have kavana to pater. What happens if you don't have kavana? Similarly, your bracha didn't work to pater. So then this whole minog is unwinding, because okay, it's a bracha not needed, but only if you potter it, but you didn't potter it. So okay, hopefully the least thing the sheriff should accomplish is people should have in mind, starting tomorrow morning when you put in your talis, have in mind I'm also exempting my tzitzis.
It exempts your bracha. It doesn't exempt
Now, the deer shoe, I see the deer shoe mishabrua, they bring down some achronim that come up with a trick. They say, look, the way they write it is if one time you had in mind, okay, from now on, every day when I put on my talis gadol, it's like your settings on your phone, right?
Yeah.
You make the setting and just run with it, you know.
Yeah.
Nowadays, Google reminds you every so often. But, right, you have in mind one time, mikan laba, from now onward, whenever I make a bracha on my talis, I have in mind to exempt my tzitzis. I'm having in mind today, forever. So, yeah. It's funny. He didn't say it exactly like Stam Das. He makes this, declaration. But I saw from other poskim, they're not into that. You know, they say that may not work.
Right, so 90 days.
Huh?
So you could say every time I eat a donut, I have kolbana to thank Hashem for it.
No, that wouldn't work. Right? Every Sunday morning, I plan to come into Rabbi Kira's share and eating a donut. And no, that doesn't work. But what I'm adding, I believe, at this point, it just adds to the issue why are we playing these games of not making a bracha on your tzitzis, making a bracha on your talis. It's only going to work on your talis if you have kavana, but you don't have kavana. Okay, maybe b'diavad we could be somich on the achronim that say stam das, this once in a lifetime, the kanal haba idea works. Not great. But I have another problem. We always know, when do we perform mitzvahs? We perform the bracha on a mitzvah. We make the bracha on a mitzvah over las yasam, before you do the mitzvah. We always do it over las yasam, before you do it. So isn't the ideal way, so what are we saying here? Oh, I'm going to put on my tzitzis. Don't make a bracha on it. Put on a talis. And once I make a bracha on my talis, retroactively, that's going to work backwards for my tzitzis. Well, it's not really going to work retroactively. It's going to work from now and onward. The bracha that I said on my talis will also exempt the tzitzis. But what happened for the time in between, even if you didn't go anywhere? But don't we want our mitzvahs, our brachas on mitzvahs to be before we perform it?
Didn't we already say by tzitzis, you don't have to do it over the last yasam? That first mishnah
brach. Oh, so I didn't read that inside. But no, pumfer keren. I think a raya the opposite way from there. Because there the Mishnah Berurah talks about the case of where the guy is putting on his tzitzis before he washes his hands. So we say, you touch your tzitzis and make a bracha. And the reasoning the Chofetz Chaim struggles with, even though we want it to be over las yasam, right. But since you're stuck, you can't make a bracha if your hands weren't washed yet.
When he says gavra l'chazi, means you're right for him to make a bracha.
Correct. But of course, the principle of over las yasam is something that's required by tzitzis too.
Once you're not doing it over the yasam, meaning you had a hector and a cannot do it over this, once you're not doing it, is it so?
Yeah. He's not necessarily talking about that case even. The case could even be a case. It's a different case now we're talking about. The case could be where I wash my hands before I put on my talis katan. Even in that case, we say, don't make a bracha in talis katan. Wait until you get a talis katan. Yes?
Women light Shabbos candles and women make a bracha. Women go in the mikvah and then make a bracha.
Excellent.
We are sitting in a sukkah and then we make a lay shave.
Excellent. So all these, very impressive. Very impressive. Right? Did you get on the stage for one of those
Yes.
Huh?
I'm in the mood today.
So all those.
I'm sitting in Ed's chair.
Right? The Maisa. You see the hashpah of Ed. Oh, I just saw him yesterday. I don't know. Where is Ed? But.
He usually walks. It's wet outside.
Oh, that's some shot.
I think he doesn't know how to drive here. I think he only knows how to get here and walk.
No, he's the driver. Anyway, oh, ever since that share about the crazy drivers, you know, around Shul, I think that share scared him too much. Yeah, but he has been complaining to me about the New York drivers that moved to Florida. Poor Ed. But anyway, so Josh, by every single of the cases you just brought up, they all asked Akasha, why do you make it that way and not over at the Siasa? Those are all perfect examples. One after the other after the other. Yes. Huh? We want it to be watching. Hi, Ed. Now, the one thing when we miss, Harvey, we say this all the time. You know, I get a lot of people do watch a share. I just, you know, someone just followed up from Kol Isha. He was like, you know, he was singing while. Praises of the share. Watch. A lot of people do watch the share, but you don't get the feedback, you know, live, you know. And Ed is the perfect example. Ed, if you're watching right now, we miss you, because when Ed is in that chair, it just flows. Yeah. Now, So to me, this is another serious question. Why is it that we're looking, it's always b'di'eved to use your bracha, okay, right, I think sukkah is a perfect example. You know, you have cases in sukkah, let's say you make kiddush, especially after the first night of sukkahs, these things could happen, or whatever, you're eating a sukkah, you made a bracha and you're eating, and you realize, oh, I forgot to make a leishah. So there the halacha is, as long as you're still in the sukkah, you can make it. But
no different than a shahat kol on a piece of food.
Right, there's a debate, right, if you, another perfect example. Both of these examples are actually given by the Sefer on the bottom of the page, where we have concepts that I missed the bracha originally, I do the bracha later, that also works. But obviously the best thing to do is the bracha as early as possible. So what's going on over here? So to this last question, I think I found an answer. It makes me feel much better because it just adds so much. Why are we doing this funny, funny minhag? Granted, everyone's going to say, keep the minhag, but it goes against all these principles. So I found the Malbim has a sefer. The famous Malbim on Chumash, on Tanakh, has a sefer in Halacha called Artzos Chaim. Actually, it's pretty quoted in many different spots by the Mishnah Berurah. It's only on the beginning part of Or HaChaim. But I happened to track down over here in Tzitzis. And it seems like he's struggling within this issue of understanding why aren't we making a bracha on our tzitzis and just exempting it with a talis gadol. And he throws in an understanding, a very interesting idea. There's a difference between the mitzvah tzitzis and many, many of those other mitzvahs. For sure, lulav and other mitzvahs. Many mitzvahs, what we define, the mitzvah is the maisa, the action of, let's say, picking up a lulav, shaking a lulav. That's the mitzvah, right? Lighting a pashup shot, lighting a Hanukkah menorah. The mitzvah is the act of lighting. By tzitzis, one might have thought that the mitzvah is the act of putting on your tzitzis. That's not true. The mitzvah of tzitzis is the mitzvah of having the tzitzis on you. Since the mitzvah of tzitzis is having the tzitzis on you, the best time to make the bracha is after it's already on you. The concept of over lasiyasan is before I do an action, let's make that bracha. But tzitzis, the mitzvah, isn't the action of putting on tzitzis. I would dare say maybe even not be the action of wearing tzitzis, because it's not an action. It's literally shev v'taseh. Sit and do a mitzvah. Just having it on you. Right. I was going to get to it, but one of my tidbits, I would say, a person sleeping, Shabbos afternoon, you take a nice Shabbos nap. You know what you should do? I think we've mentioned this in passing before. Keep your tzitzis on you. I take them off, it'll be a shiloh about it, making a new bracha. Plus, every single moment you wear tzitzis, you get a mitzvah. Every single minute you wear tzitzis, you get a mitzvah. Plus, on top of that, tzitzis is also shmira. So why shouldn't you have all that good stuff flowing by doing a mitzvah? Now, you do nothing when you're sleeping. There's no action. But that's the nature of the mitzvah tzitzis. Tzitzis is not an action of wearing. Tzitzis is having it, you know, on you. So the whole concept of over lasiyasan is really not so applicable for the mitzvah tzitzis, according to the Artzos Chaim. Now, the Chafetz Chaim wrote about it in the step before, okay? I'm not sure he's fully agreeing to this, but I could hear such a concept. It's that once, you know, if the question is going to be, shouldn't it be better for me to make the bracha right away when I put on my tzitzis versus using what I'm doing later? Not necessarily, because the mitzvah is having it on you already. So, okay. So it may not matter if you make it now, you make it a drop earlier.
Because it has traveled the whole time.
Maybe, maybe not. I'm not sure. You know, with that first Mishnah Berurah, I'm not sure. Correct. Correct. Now, I'll talk about that in a moment also. But in terms of the practical halacha, as mentioned, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach spells out you know, in a case of where you're getting up, you're saying slichos, right? Especially you say slichos in the morning. So you're putting on your tzitzis, and the normal minhag is not to put on talis by slichos. So you're not going to put on your talis till after the whole slichos. Right? Unless you're chazan, right? Unless you have a chazanis and this. That could be a while later, especially the first night, early morning. So what do you do over there? Still, Rav Shlomo Zalman says, the minhag is not to make a bracha on your talis katan. I did find a couple other things. I did find the Rebbe Vadya in Yalkut Yosef does allow, if you're Sephardi and you're listening to this, he doesn't say you mechliv to do this, but he does say rasha, you are, if there's going to be a hefsek, you are allowed to make a bracha on your tzitzis. Different than the psak here from the Chavetz Chaim. And I spoke to a posek about this just yesterday. Very interesting. In fact, one of the people I was talking to, like, tried to be medayik. He saw this posek acting this way, and he was wondering if it's based on that. I said, I'll tell you better. I spoke to him. He told me it's based on that. That I know of people that what they do is, okay, they get dressed in the morning, they put on their tzitzis, and let's say they're going to learn in the shir before davening, they'll put on their talis right away. Love davka their tefillin, but they're put on their talis right away, this way, as early as possible. There shouldn't be a hefsek as much. They put on their talis. Now, I'm not recommending people should put in their talis and drive necessarily, you know, to shul. Okay, if you thought.
But now I think it's after the zman.
Yeah, right. Providing it's after the zman, good point.
Why not? Why not put
it
on the drive?
It's weird. You don't do weird things. Yeah. One time I was driving down the belt, Queens to Brooklyn, one morning. I'm driving, I look at the car beside me, and the guy literally is there, talis and tefillin. Huh?
And
it wasn't Rav Scheinberg, right? Talis and tefillin, like that. So, right. There, I don't think he was davening chakras there. That's what I assume. But, you know, I hope we didn't get any traffic. But, you know, that would be better if you had traffic.
Right.
But, you know, that's not ideal, and that's not normal, you know. People do many things in the privacy of the cars, you know. They're shaving away, and they're doing this. Okay, I don't know. But, I would, so in general, I would tell people to keep the minhag of not putting on, not making a bracha on your tzitzis. But if there would be a scenario, I have seen some poskim who say, a big hefsek, could make a bracha, amongst them, Rav Avadia. But as an etza, perhaps, a person could put in their talis as early as possible, that would help it. Now, just quickly to run through, I promised tidbits. So I want to run through a few quick things. We talked before about a katan tzitzis. It's a big deal. You know, imagine parents spend thousands of dollars for their son's bar mitzvah. This is one thing they many times overlook. Did you buy your son for his bar mitzvah a new pair of tzitzis? Multiple reasons. Three reasons. Reason number one, as mentioned before, right, it could very likely be that his tzitzis are puzzle. He's running around as a kid. You know, you can get your tzitzis, so it's kedai. Besides buying, everyone's focused on the big new pair of tefillin for his bar mitzvah. What about a nice new top tzitzis, pair of tzitzis for his bar mitzvah? Make sure they're not puzzle. Number two, second reason is really once you're a katan, you have to wear, once you're a gadol, you have to wear a talis katan, which is the shir. Okay, I'm like going into, this shir is not focusing on what the shear is, but the common idea of 18 inches is an idea, no matter how scrawny the kid is, right? The size of the tzitzis is a given, right? You could have these kids swimming in tzitzis, right? Okay? Yeah? Yes. You think you only wrap him up when you go to get for an upsharing? You wrap him up for his bar mitzvah too. Thirdly, another reason why, and this happened, remember, it happens a lot. A lot of times you have rebbeim, you know, it's a cute project to do in elementary school, is they'll make tzitzis with their class. those tzitzis are puzzle for the child to wear once he becomes a bar mitzvah. Because tzitzis made by a katan are not yotzi for a gadol. So if your child, grandchild, made tzitzis when they were under bar mitzvah, make sure that pair is no longer used by him. Yes. So those are three things to be aware of. I mentioned already about napping with tzitzis. One is allowed to take off their tzitzis if they think they're going to heavily sweat in them. There is a heter for one to take off tzitzis, let's say you're playing sports, you're running, or this. At the same time, I found Rav Moshe Feinstein, who gives a heter to take them off, also says you have to realize when you take off your tzitzis, you're taking off a shmira from your body. And tzitzis itself is, you know, is a shmira. I know they ran in one of the last wars in Israel. They ran a campaign. They bought camouflage tzitzis for Israeli soldiers. And even soldiers who are not dati and never put in a pair of tzitzis started putting on pairs of tzitzis because there's no atheists in the foxholes. And, you know, that pair of tzitzis could be a greater shmira than their protective vests. So, good idea to have it on. I'll add one last topic, which probably is a little bit apropos here in Florida quite a bit, is there is a hider to wear woolen tzitzis. Chavetz Chaim brings it down. At the same time, don't worry, at the same time, it's very interesting, the Vilna Gaon himself wore cotton tzitzis. Not just the Vilna Gaon, the Chazon Ish, not just the Chazon Ish, Chaim Kanievsky. If you look at these pictures with the Chaim Kanievsky, right, he is wearing clearly a white cotton pair of tzitzis over his shirt.
What about Rav Scheinberg's?
Rav Scheinberg's 100 pairs. I told you, my friend broke into his room one time. We'll talk about this for a different day. Not, definitely not on tape. But, so the idea of the Gra did not wear woolen tzitzis. He wore cotton tzitzis. Tal's katan, that is. There are different reasons people try to explain why the Gra did that. One of the reasons, very interesting, is the Gra did wear all day a talus and tefillin. His talus was made, of course, out of wool. Tzitzis made out of cotton is a lesser chiv, it's a chiv de rabbanon. So in order to get two mitzvahs, a mitzvah d'oraisa of wearing tzitzis, the Gra got by wearing his talus, right? In fact, wearing his talus all day. He wanted a mitzvah d'rabbanon of wearing tzitzis that he got specifically by wearing cotton. So there's a milah to wearing cotton if you also wear woolen talus. Now really, right, the Chazon Ish and Rav Chaim Kanievsky didn't wear talus and tefillin all day, yet they still wore the cotton. I assume because of the Vart, they already did the mitzvah with wool, so now they could get do another mitzvah with cotton. And really, that might be a reason for everyone to get more mitzvahs.
With cotton,
it's a separate mitzvah. Listen to what the rabbis say.
You're not yotzi mitzvah d'oraisa. So it's just you wear cotton.
Huh?
Only d'rabbanan.
Correct.
So if I want to do the d'oraisa, I have to wear wool.
There's a mile for sure. The Chavetz Chaim says, you know, a mile to do. Now I want to get into the whole wool cotton debate. Okay, you could ask your Rosh Kollel back in yeshiva. But yes, but Lamaisa, I think what emerges from today's share, besides the small tzitzis, big issues, and besides the tidbits, just to realize that here we have a mitzvah that we've been doing since hopefully we're young children, but to realize, even as we get older, that it's such a wonderful mitzvah, such an amazing mitzvah. And it, as we talked about, it provides shmira, provides a mitzvah every moment. And the same Vilna Gaon, you know, on his deathbed, said the famous words. He started crying. And people were taken aback. Why is the Vilna Gaon crying? He shouldn't be worried about what's going to happen to him. You know, the parade is about to begin. Why on his deathbed was he crying? He said, because look at what you have in this world. For a few bucks, you could put in the pair of tzitzis and get a mitzvah. Up there, you don't have that. And it's a wonderful thing, whatever person could do, to chop mitzvahs in this world, for people who could donate, you know, I've seen multiple of these, I think a Talmud who runs one of these things, where they have people that sponsor tzitzis for Kiruv. You know, the many kids out there never wore a pair of tzitzis in their life. They don't have to be Israeli soldiers. Why wait till they're on the battlefield? And they sponsor pairs of tzitzis for people in Kiruv, for I think this Talmud's name is a talisman. But it's a wonderful thing. Use the Vilna Gaon just for a few dollars. You could mamash get nitzkias, mitzvahs, every moment a person wears a tzitzis. Thank you very much for listening. Have a wonderful week.